Let's talk about the promise Jesus gives us in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, and also the condition, which is oftentimes in the modern church intentionally left out. The passage is John 10. In specific, it's John 10, 27 through 29. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them." Notice he's speaking of his sheep. He says they're my sheep, and they do what? How do we know they're his sheep? They hear his voice, and he says, "I know them, and they follow me." Now, we could talk about this verse for a long time. Though it be short, it is absolutely loaded with divine revelation. Notice, "I know them." Many times we say, and we hear said, that I know the Lord. Well, that's true. We must know him. But first and foremost, on his stated terms, as are on record in his word, we should make sure that he is saying to us that I know him, I know her. It's more important that God knows us as his sheep than it is to say subjectively that I am one of his. They're both important. And if you are one of his, you know that. And yet there are many who are going to say unto him on that day, "Lord, Lord," they called him Lord, but he's going to tell them to depart from him because he never knew them. And these are the very people, many of them alive today on the earth, who claim and swear that they know Jesus. And yet the fruit of their lives does not testify to an authentic relationship with Christ. And I notice, "I never knew you," Matthew chapter 7. So from that, we see that there are those who claim to know the Lord and will claim it all the way till the judgment day. But he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me," right? "And ye that work iniquity, are you lawless?" That's what the workers of iniquity are defined as, those who live unto themselves. You know, there's so many people, false professors today, who claim to be Jesus's child, and yet they live on their own terms. They're self-willed. They do their own thing. They don't have the "not my will, but thine be done" constitution. Perhaps they've never been born again. They're both. There's liberty to understand that both ways, those that have been born again and have fallen away, and those who have never known him. That would be according to the four different types of soil the word of God falls upon, Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. There are those who never get saved. That's the first soil. The second soil are those who get saved and then fall away. That's what Jesus taught. We have to acknowledge the whole counsel of God's word. And this passage we're looking at right now is a textbook example of how, as we talk, you're going to see it, and many of you already know it and will understand that there are so many who take this out of the context, the immediate context, and out of the whole biblical context on this topic. Jesus is going to give them a promise. The next words, verse 28, our passage is John 10, 27 through 29. And we read in verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You see, it's a two-way relationship. It's an engagement between two parties. Jesus said those that are going to be with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says exactly and verbatim, "These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." See, so many today teach it's all of God. It's a Calvinistic heretical system that has indoctrinated them to believe that salvation is only God's action in the life of one of his chosen and those he is called. But they leave out conveniently foreknowledge, the foreknowledge of God. And not to get into that, but notice here, called, chosen, and faithful. Those that are going to be with Jesus are not only called of God. Now, that has to come first because he initiates the relationship, and he provided for the relationship through the propitiatory sacrifice of the very blood of a lamb, Jesus Christ. And they are chosen and they are faithful. Notice they're faithful. They return the love in worship back to the one who called and chose them. It's ludicrous to think that there's a relationship between a man and a woman where one of the two parties is not even engaged in loving and knowing the other party. That's absolutely ludicrous. So why would we think that God is going to promise eternal life and bring into his eternal home and family anybody who's not faithful to him? Anyone who does not want to be with him, anyone that does not love him, well, he's just not going to do it. And anyone who believes that does not have the biblical picture of God. In fact, in the same book, Revelation 21:8, for example, we read about all the different classes of sinners that God is going to eliminate from his eternal kingdom. They will not be with him. Now, let me ask you something, gentlemen. Is anybody, I mean, just anybody, welcome in your home? I sure hope not. You've got a wife and children, many of you. Why would you, as a mere man, bring somebody into your home, like another man, that is a dangerous man, somebody you don't know, to be faithful to what is right? Remember, those that are going to be with Jesus are called, chosen, and faithful. Revelation 17:14. That's a clincher right there. God calls you and chooses you, and you are faithful to him. In other words, you have a relationship with him. You hear his voice, and you follow him. That's what we just read in our main text, which we're getting ready to get back to. And today's text is John 10:27-29. And let me say this, my friend, your life is never going to be the same when you get this further revelation of what we're looking at today in John chapter 10. With Jesus as the great shepherd and his sheep being those who hear his voice and follow him. He defines who they are, just like we see defined again in Revelation 17:14, where those that are going to be with Jesus and coming with him to destroy the armies of the Antichrist, however that's going to work out. But we do see that they are called, chosen, and they are faithful. You're not going to let just anybody into your home. God's not going to let everybody who claims to know him, because he knows better. He knows the hearts of all men. He knows if they're faithful or not. There's no doubt he chose everyone to be saved, because he's not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Also, his desire is to have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Through the one and only mediator, Jesus Christ. But God has conditions for his blessings. And if those conditions are not met, the individual who chose not to meet them on God's stated terms is eliminating himself from God's eternal family. He's going to be one of the what? Here it is, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, those who are cowardly and timid, those who can't make up their mind, those who won't put their feet down and plant them deeply and standing on both feet like a man, declaring that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I am going to follow Jesus, though none go with me. Paul said at one point that all men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. 2 Timothy 4, I believe it's 16-18. Romans 1:16, the apostle said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Notice who's going to be eliminated from Jesus's eternal kingdom. Isn't it amazing to me and you, if you have a sane mind, if you have some semblance of sanity in your mind, that some believe that Jesus does not have the right to eliminate people from his kingdom who were once part of his kingdom. If that was the case, why was Lucifer, who God created with instruments built into his being, obviously to help lead the worship of God in heaven, if God doesn't remove people from his kingdom, why was Lucifer ejected from heaven when sin was found, iniquity was found in him, Ezekiel chapter 28:12-19? Why was Adam and Eve, who were in perfect standing with God, why were they ejected from his presence when they sinned against him? Because God is holy, holy, holy. He has not changed. The wages of sin is still death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Doesn't matter how much of a pet you think, God's little pet disciple, convincing yourself and your own delusional mind that you're eternally secure. If you got sin in your life, you're going straight to hell when you die. You have to repent and confess it for the sin that it is before a holy God. In fact, he says it's only if we confess our sins that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And notice in verse 7, notice the condition, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. So you must, after being saved, you must walk in the light as he is in the light. That means you confess all your sins. We're going to talk about in just a minute what saving faith looks like. Okay, so keep that in mind. It's going to be an exciting list. What does it look like as far as what the Bible says it looks like? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to read Revelation 21, verse 8. This is just one of the places where God gives us several classes of sinners that will be ejected. They will be disallowed to be in God's eternal home, just like a good man will not allow anybody dangerous into his home to hurt his family. God is the great heavenly Father, and he gave his only begotten Son so that only those who choose to be his, they're called, chosen, and faithful. He called them, he chose them, but they're also faithful. People that are conducting their lives according to his will, as is stated in his word, they're going to be the ones in glory, not those who live self-willed lives. Lives of lawlessness. They are workers of iniquity, Matthew 7:23. That's why he's going to say, I never knew you. That's why he's going to reject them.
These are the very ones spoken about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it says,
they are lovers of their own selves instead of the Lord. No man can serve two masters. Notice from verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, Paul writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he gives a resume of what we can expect and what we are all witnessing all around us. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the first thing he says in this list he cites of the wickedness of mankind in the earth just before or leading up to the return of the glorious King of heaven, Jesus Christ. Men would be what? Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. That's why they can treat God and everybody else the way they do, because they're full of the love of self. What do we call that? Narcissist, right? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Meditate on that. That's the first and the foundational reason why all of the rest of this list is transpiring. Covetous. They're full of covetousness. The Bible says a covetous man who is an idolater, a greedy man who is an idolater, hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians chapter 5. They're boasters, proud, they're full of pride, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. This is all the fruit of the lives of those who are not in Christ. Unthankful. People that don't take time to thank God for what they do have. They only continue to lust after more. Unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent. They just can't stop sinning. Fierce. And the reason why is because they're not born again, because they're choosing to love themselves and not the Lord. Those who choose to love the Lord go to the Lord as he calls them to him. And they render real, authentic repentance and put their faith in Christ. They say, I am going to love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. Fierce. We've never seen so much wickedness and fierceness beginning to transpire on the earth. The fact that people can commit murder and different crimes that completely destroy the lives of others and just walk away like nothing happened. They are what? Despisers of those that are good. The persecution is ramping up, isn't it? Traitors. Heady. They just live for pleasure. High-minded. They think they're better than others because they make more money or whatever. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, you know, people will spend endless money on getting another little thrill for their lives and to show other people how wonderful they are and how much money they have, and yet they won't give that money to where it could go for the gospel to be spread. Isn't that amazing? And I'm mentioning that because there's so many Christians, should I say, professing Christians in America that give nothing to the gospel. Now, some of them give money to their churches, but those churches aren't preaching the gospel, nor are they doing the great commission Christ gave. Just as we read in the scriptures, Jesus foretold that many false prophets would arise and they would deceive many. Matthew 24:11. These are those who feed into the false prophet ministries that are making merchandise of the people. 2 Peter 2. Then it says they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, they merely have an outward show of godliness, but denying the power that would be the authority of Jesus Christ to reign in their own life. And if they did, they would obey him by denying themselves, taking up their cross daily and following him. And following Jesus would be being raised up out of that death and burial posture into a life of obedience to the Lord, including executing, performing, doing the Great Commission. And then he says, from such, turn away. Get away from these counterfeit saints. Then he says, they're ever learning. First he says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. That basically means they take advantage of single women, whether old or young, because women can be easily deceived and taken in by the deceivers, just as Eve was taken in by Satan the serpent. Then in verse 7, ever learning. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that brings to mind, as we come in for a close here, saints, that think about the professing Christians who have been in churches for decades, their whole life, basically, or whole adult life, and they don't even evangelize. They're not feeding anybody the Word of God. They have no fruitfulness for the glory of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of Christ. They have no semblance of executing or participating in the execution of the Great Commission command of Jesus to go ye for the church, the true body of Christ, that's what they are involved in, is going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature and teaching the Bible to everyone, lost and saved, and then baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and to Mark and to Matthew. And this is due to the fact that they are not submitted to the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. They deny the power, the authority of Christ to reign in their personal daily lives. They are not crucified with Christ, as he said, we must be in order to truly follow him, who is the great shepherd of his sheep, who hear his voice and follow him. Hebrews 13:20, John chapter 10, verse 27. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Jesus, that you're the great shepherd of the sheep. We honor and adore you, Lord. We ask that repentance would be gifted to each and every heart of those listening to this message, Lord, that they would see, if this be the case, that the fruit of their lives does not align with the fruit that you said would be resident in the lives you save by grace through faith. You said also just after that, that there would be those who executed your word. They would be your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which you have ordained for them to walk in. Now, Father, we ask you right now to bring a breaking, to grant repentance, Lord, to the acknowledging of their sin so that they can be washed of it and renewed and refreshed and brought to you, Lord, afresh, restored. Like the prodigal son, Lord, you said, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Lord, we pray according to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, that we would be blessed to sow to ourselves in righteousness, to reap in mercy, to break up our fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.